John chapter 7. I've loved teaching through the book of John. About every 3 or 4 years, I try to teach or preach in one of the services through one of the Gospels. It's healthy for us. It's good for us to walk beside the Lord Jesus Christ. So John chapter number 7. And we taught through this. I'll do a quick review. But it's very interesting to notice where we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus was at the height of popularity in his ministry. I mean, if you go back and just begin that, the multitudes are following him. He feeds the 5,000. He's been healing their sick. He is popular. He has a large following. But in John chapter 6, without us going back through all of it, he begins to then, as the multitude pursues him, he begins to question their motive and make them have to face their motive. And folks, there's a lot of different reasons for following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so after he gives them what the Bible calls some hard sayings, many of the disciples turn around and they no longer follow him. These aren't just casual followers. These were people the Bible identify as disciples. One of the things I said to our Sunday school class, you know, folks, there's the milk of the word, then there's the meat of the word. And what are you going to do when you have to face the hard sayings of the Bible? You know, the things that require something of us. So far, they've been following Jesus, and it's been pretty much for the reason of everything we can get from him. And I think that's where some people get stuck in their Christian life. As long as the church is serving them, as long as Christianity benefits them, then they're in on it. But wait a minute. God didn't save you so he could serve you. Although he's awfully good to us. Amen. But he saved us so that we can serve him. And when your Christianity begins to cost you something, then we're going to, that separates the men from the boys. That separates the true disciples from those that are just disciple in name. So we see this. Now, let me just kind of quickly. So at the beginning of chapter 7 then, let me show you where we're at. Lord Jesus, right now, the majority of his disciples has forsaken him at the last few verses of chapter 6. Of the 12 that still follow him, verse 70 and 71 of chapter 6, Jesus knows that one of them's a traitor. And so even one of the ones that didn't leave is there for the wrong reason. Number 3, Jesus was in hiding. He can no longer freely travel as he once did. Number 4, Jesus had enemies who sought to kill him. Chapter 7, verse number 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, wait, you know, it's easy to put this list down, but I tried to get us to do this last week. Put yourself in this situation, okay? You're going to understand the Bible a lot more. It's going to mean a lot more when you let real people be real people and you exercise a certain amount of empathy with them, change places with the Lord Jesus, change places with the different characters in the Bible, and then imagine that you're here. I mean, a chapter ago, and he was the most popular man in Israel. Now he's hunted. His own family members doesn't believe that he's the Messiah. Chapter 7, verse 3 and 5, his brethren basically mock him. They encourage him to place himself in danger. They're accusing him of seeking fame. And they said this, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. In other words, you know what? And everybody thinks you're a big shot. You think you're a big shot. So if you're all that, why don't you go down to Jerusalem and see what happens? And this is his own brother. And the Bible clearly says in verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. So this isn't speculation. It's stated. And then number 6, there are many who look at him as nothing more than a deceiver. When you listen to what's said in Jerusalem in chapter 7, verse 12, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So that's where we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, listen, the Christian life isn't always going to make you popular. But one of the things you just got to come to peace with is this. If Jesus said, hey, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, he wasn't just, those are the words of Jesus. He said, you know what, you have to take certain stands and you have to stick by certain biblical convictions. It's not always going to make you a real popular person. But he said, Jesus didn't just stay faithful to the mission his father had sent him on when he was popular. He stayed faithful when it was difficult. And so despite all these circumstances, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. He sends his brother, and then he goes up circumspectly. The Bible phrases in secret or concealed. He goes up, and verse number 10, and when his brethren were gone up, then went he also to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. The feast, and I won't reteach this, but the feast at this point is anything but what the feast should be about. We did kind of warn all of us folks. You know what everybody's talking about? This is the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is the feast where they leave their homes, they set up booths, they live as their forefathers did in the wilderness. Why? So they can remember how God took care of them, so they can remember the days of their deliverance, so they can remember the manna that God fed them with. By the way, in the previous chapter, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If they've been focused on what they should have been focused on, they probably might have picked up who he was. Okay? In the wilderness where the rock was smoked and water came out, and wasn't it in John chapter 4 where Jesus tells a lady, I'm the living water. And it's like, if we're not careful, folks, church can become about anything and everything but what church is and should be. You know, I sometimes want to put a sign above the door that says drama-free zone. Amen. Honestly. Because sometimes it just seems like so many people get caught up in everything but what this thing's supposed to be about. And so you know what they're doing? They're not talking about the wilderness. They're not talking about how God took care. They're not praising God. They're walking around whispering and murmuring, and they can't do it openly because they're worried about the Jews and where is he and has anybody seen him and who do you think he is and all of this. And if we're not careful, folks, we can fall into the same trap and miss what God has for us. Now, that brings us down to kind of where we finish, because all of a sudden, okay, preacher, you say he went in then secretly, but notice verse number 14, and I love this, the courage of Jesus Christ. Now, about the midst of the feast, so this is an 8-day feast, so about day four, day five, halfway through the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now imagine, you know, everybody's looking for him. He's got a group of people that are plotting to kill him. He's not popular, and all of a sudden, halfway through the feast, he just walks right up the steps of the temple, right in, picks up one of the scrolls, opens it, begins to teach the word of God. Now, that's pretty awesome. And folks, listen to me. This is the lesson we need to learn. Folks, listen. Jesus had courage. And he had the courage of his convictions. He had the courage to do the right thing and say the right things, even when it wasn't popular. And there's going to be moments of time where you're going to need to remember this example, okay? In the middle of all the drama, all the danger, all the discouragement, all the devilish lies being told about him, my Savior, this is my Savior, I hope he's yours, but my Savior, you know, my greatest example, my greatest hero, and he, you know what he did? He walks right into the temple, picks up the word of God and says, we're going to do some teaching here. So the courage of Christ, the example of Christ, you have to at some point, folks, learn, you'll hear your preacher quote this every once in a while where I'll just say, hey, let the heathen rage and the wicked imagine a vain thing. And you know what? I'm not going to walk around. I'm not getting caught up in all the stupid. I'm not getting caught up in all the drama. I'm not getting caught up in all the foolishness. I'm not getting caught up. I'm just not. You know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what the world does. But why don't we just stay focused on what we are to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse number 15, it says, and the Jews marveled. All right? So think about that, verse number 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Okay, hard stop again. All right, so he's teaching the Bible. All right, Jesus, not just anybody. Jesus, the living word, picks up the written word and teaches it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, you talk about, there's never been anybody that's walked the face of this earth that could that could teach the Bible like someone who is the Bible. And you know what? They should have been hanging on every word. They should have been embracing every truth. See, folks, we spend a lot of time criticizing the Jews, but how many times are we just like them? And this is what, listen, teaching through the Bible without personal application, in my estimation, is a waste of time. Okay, I don't want to learn about where other people failed. I want to insulate myself from that same failure. And so what did they do? What is their comment here? Did you notice it? The Jews marveled, saying, wow, what truth. No, they marveled, saying this, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? So instead of listening to what he's teaching, watch this, they're critiquing the teacher. Okay, did you get that? And can we fall into that same trap? If you start coming to church and instead of listening to the Word of God taught, you begin to critique the way it's taught or critique the person who's teaching it, you're no different than them. And think of the truth that has been missed through the years because somebody out there is more worried about critiquing a message than just letting the message. Listen, can we just make a decision? I don't know where you're at on this. Maybe you're just fine. We just make a decision in 2026 that we're going to walk in to church and we're going to sit there with an open heart and let the preaching of the Bible do what it's supposed to do in each of our lives. All right, I'll save you the time that it would take you to critique me. I'm not perfect. I don't perfectly live everything I teach. Neither do you. You know why? Because we can't. Okay, I have flaws. Anything else you need, you know, had a lady one time, piece of paper, walked up. Three things she written down that she knew was bad about me. Three things. She said, I know some bad things about you. And I said, let me see that list. And I looked at it. I said, let me borrow your pen. I mean, that's all you got? And I wrote down four or five other things. Said, hey, use that as a prayer list and pray for me. I sure want to be more like Jesus. She's, you didn't know what to say. What are we doing? By the way, why isn't she making a list about her faults? You know, come on now. If we're not careful, we can get into the critiquing everybody else business. And all that does is preventing us from doing what we're supposed to be doing when the Bible's being preached. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Okay? I mean, we ought to be letting the Bible examine us. Now, folks, let me just help you with this, and we'll go to something else. But if you're not careful, what you do is you put a sermon in judgment to see whether or not you agree with it. Why don't you put yourself in judgment to see whether you're in agreement with the Bible? And so many times we get to that place in our Christian life. Well, I'm okay, Pastor, if he's preaching on this, 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 and this. But if he brings this subject up, okay. Now, it's very interesting because Jesus answers them. I'm going to help us here. Because verse number 16, I think they're this. What I'm hitting on right now is the reason so many Christians plateau. Because instead of letting the Bible continue to, come on, you know, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, preaching is supposed to reprove us and rebuke us and correct us. Amen. The minute you won't let that happen, you're going to stay right where you're at. No, that's not true. I don't think anybody stays where they're at. I think you'll start backsliding. And so, isn't it interesting? They said, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now, one of the things Jesus answered him, so wise, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, what? My doctrine is not what? But him, his, that sent me. Okay. And again, can I help you when it comes to, are you correctable? Are you okay? Everybody okay? Can you take a breath? All right. All right, you having a hard time? No. Then this is what's for you. If you're struggling right now, you need to hear what I'm saying. I'm your best friend right now because some of you are right here or you've gone backwards and you'll continue to go backwards because you're judging whether or not the Bible agrees with you instead of judging yourself on whether you agree with the Bible. Amen. So if we get to that point, I'm telling you, Okay? You're not going to go forward. You're not going to grow. You're not going to continue to be formed in the image of Christ. So Jesus said this, my doctrine is not my own. Okay? How knows this man letters having never learned? Who does he think he is? I mean, what kind of degrees does Pastor really have? How much of the original languages does he know? You know, folks, listen, if we're not careful, we want to critique. Now listen, Jesus said this, my doctrine is not my own. Now, here's another classic thing if you're not careful. We begin to dictate or determine whether or not we agree with what's preached based on who's preaching it. And we hide behind this. Well, I just don't agree with Pastor Ross on this. Listen to me. My doctrine is not my own. My doctrine is not my own. What do you mean, preacher? What I'm saying is this. I'm preaching the Word of God. Stop hiding behind whether or not, you know, a lot of people, I agree, and then all of a sudden I don't agree. I'll tell you what we're going to do in 2026, all right? Now this is, I'm going to announce it. Pretty exciting. We're going to show up here in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we're going to preach the Bible. Amen. And I feel like you will be hard pressed to find anything that I preach on that is not obviously backed with Scripture. Amen. So again, I'm trying to keep you from turning into the Jews of Jesus' day. Okay, they had an opportunity to set, come on, under Jesus Christ and listen to him preach. They had a chance to come to the Feast of the Tabernacles and have it mean what it should mean to them. And they're caught up in drama, and they're caught up in gossip, and they're sitting there with a haughty spirit, and they are critiquing Christ and his, whether or not he should be allowed to even speak, rather than listening to the Word of God that's being preached. And Jesus said, listen, my doctrine is not my own, but his that sent me. And then in an interesting verse 17, if any man will do his will, I love this, hard stop again, okay? Then what's it say? He shall know of the doctrine. Now, let me tell you who I can help. The people that want to do the will of God. Amen. I mean, no bars hold. I haven't already drawn lines. I'll go this far, but I'm not going this far. I'll believe this, but I'm not pushed back on that. The people as that you can help as a pastor and the people that will be helped by preaching is the ones that want to do the will of God. Now, let me just ask you a question. Are you willing and do you really want to do the will of God no matter what that would be? I mean, in 2026, if God absolutely rocked your world and came to you and said, let's start with men. You know what? I know what you've been doing all this time, but I want you to do this. Are you already surrendered to it before you even know whatever it is? We all need to be 100%. You're never going to gain what you should through preaching as long as you're more concerned about doing your will than you are doing his will. And so we all got to be 100% open to that. Whatever God would ask me to do. Wives, look right up here. If God were to come and rock your world by telling your husband that, you know what, I'm going to dramatically change your life and what you're doing right now, and I'm going to have you do this. Are you already hunkered down and locked in and determined that, no, we're not changing anything? I have my life, and I've got my comfort zone, and this is how I want to live, and this is what I want to do, and I mean, folks, we all got to ask the question, no matter what the will of God is, are we willing to do it? If you get a group of people, and for the most part, I think we have them here, but boy, that's right here in the text. I'm not skipping it, okay? I'm blowing the trumpet. As long as you have a group of people that come that want to do the will of God, easy to preach to, and they will love Bible preaching, and they'll soak up Bible preaching. But the minute you decide it's about what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do, then it's going to become a problem. And so he says, if any man will do his will, verse 17, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And there's the other side of the coin. If it's about God, you know what? You're going to get it. You're going to understand it. If it's about you and seeking your glory, you're going to miss it. But he that seeketh his glory, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And so just, I put a little side note on here. Every once in a while, something in there is good for us to teach the Bible or preach the Bible. Listen, we better make sure that it is his doctrine and not ours. We better make sure as we teach the Bible, it's about getting his message across, not our message. And it's for his glory. Come on, Max, stay with us your whole life. It's for his glory, not your glory. Okay? And so then he said, verse number 19, did not Moses give you the law, and none of you, and yet none of you keepeth the law? By the way, they can't deny that. None of us can deny that. The law is that schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus Christ. And why go ye about to kill me? Now, he brings up this subject of their plotting to kill him. Now, did it say in chapter 7, verse 1? I think the Bible, if it wrote this down, it was true. It says, because the Jews sought to kill him. And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. So Jesus knows that they're plotting to kill him. By the way, why did he come? He came to die. And so, folks, listen to me. I said this in chapter 6. There's a couple of times where I'm just like, Jesus just poking the bear. Now, if your goal is to die for the sins of all mankind, you're going to have to eventually tick people off to the point where they're ready to kill you. And he's not backing off. Matter of fact, he's got his foot on the gas. And it's almost everything that he knows they don't like him saying, he's saying it very plain. So now he says, just to the whole, I mean, the Jews are out there, the multitudes are out there, people are listening, they all know. They all know the people are, that there's a plot to kill the Lord Jesus. And he says, why go ye about to kill me? And in verse number 19. And the people, verse 20, answered and said, what? Well, let's add this to the list. Let's see. Let me go back to the list. Majority of Jesus' disciples have forsaken him. Of the 12 that followed him, one's a traitor. He's in having to live in hiding for the most part. He has enemies who are seeking to kill him. His own family members do not believe he was the Messiah. There are many who look at him as nothing more than a deceiver. Now they're saying he's demon-possessed. All right. Sounds like he's pretty popular. And by the way, neither will you be if you take the stands you need to take. Okay? You understand the lost world's not always going to understand. Look right up here. A lot of carnal Christians aren't going to understand. If you just say, I really am going to go to this book and let it dictate the nuances of my life, and you really live sold out to the Word of God and to the Son of God, there's going to be a lot of people that don't get it. And that's okay. Now, he kind of goes through this whole section. He says, what I teach, the doctrine comes from God. If you seek to do the will of God, then what I teach will make sense to you, and you'll recognize it comes from him. My motives are pure. I'm not speaking what I made up. I'm speaking his doctrine. I'm not seeking my glory. I'm seeking his glory. And then remember this. He taught from the scriptures. Jesus said, I seek to bring glory to God because of that. What I say is true, and there's no unrighteous in me. And then he says this out of the blue, why go ye about to kill me? And their answer, verse 20, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Deny, deny, deny. Okay, so very few times when a person is confronted, if they're plotting to do evil and they're called on it, what do most people do? They lie. They deny it. I'd have more respect for them if they said, yeah, there's a big plot. Matter of fact, if we just catch you at the right moment. I mean, we haven't been able to pull it off yet, but, you know. But, you know, again, we have there. He exposes them here in this portion of Scripture as liars. And now I add this to the list. Jesus accused of being possessed of a devil. And, preacher, this isn't real encouraging. Yeah, chapter 6 was more encouraging, but this is more reality. Okay, and so, you know what, I want to help you going into 2026. Christian life and living the Christian life doesn't always make you popular. Okay, stop worrying about how many likes you get on social media. Life's not about likes. We're going to preach an entire message on this, but our entire lives ought to be to bring honor and glory to God. And the best way for you to and me to stay clean in our Christian life is to be able to say to God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And folks, you have to, I'm going to say it very emphatically during the morning message, the best place you can get in your Christian life is when you get to the point where all that matters is this acceptable to the Lord? And when you get there, that is a good place to live. Okay? And if it's acceptable to the Lord, it ought to be acceptable to God's people. You would think. And most of it probably is. But sometimes it's not. But we don't factor that in. We don't worry about it. We're seeing Jesus, and this is priceless because we're seeing Jesus respond. And how he responds to when what he's doing is no longer popular. And so Jesus goes on and says, verse number 21, I have done one work and y'all marvel. Now, folks, this one work goes all the way back to John chapter 5. And the accusations against him for healing a man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. So keep that in mind as I read. I have done one work and y'all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because of it. It is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man be on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye, hear it, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Now, one of the things we've got to be real careful about, folks, is they were very, very, matter of fact, the Jews went way beyond what the scripture limitations were. I mean, one of their things was walking around every Sabbath day, trying to find people doing anything on the Sabbath day so that they could accuse them of violating the scripture. One of the things that they accused Jesus of often, one of the main accusations was the fact that he continued to do the work of the Father on the Sabbath day. Did you hear what I said? He continued. Right. He wasn't out in the field plowing. He wasn't out harvesting. He was doing the work of the Father on the Sabbath day. This whole idea, well, you're not supposed to do anything on the Lord's day. Yeah, you are. Okay? Matter of fact, we are right now. Bus workers got up early. By the way, bus workers, how's your day of rest working for you so far? You doing okay? There's people that are right now working. You don't think it's work? Then you trade with the teacher back there doing the 2 and 3 year olds next week and then come talk to me, all right? There's a whole bunch of you about to leave here. Sunday school teachers are coming in. They're going to be the ones with their hair messed up, looking all ragged, and looking like they just survived something. And then the new group goes out and they take the 5th and 6th grade church and the junior church of primaries, and an army of nursery workers come in. You can't survive more than an hour. And I shouldn't say it because sometimes I make you stay in there longer than that. Preacher, they need to be out in an hour. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And don't tell me it's not work. Okay? If you're doing something and it's part of the work of the Father, it's what God sent us to do, then you're fine. And Jesus even brought up, it's amazing because the law tells you that you're to circumcise. I don't go into the details of it, but you're to circumcise on the Sabbath. Here I'm making somebody all the whit whole, and it's okay what you're doing, but it's not okay what I'm doing. And so you think about that. Then he says in verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge, what's the next two words? But that's so important. Okay, listen. All of us have judged someone and all of us have been judged. And by the way, judging is not always wrong. People that are doing wrong, their favorite verse is, judge not lest you be judged. That's not the whole passage, by the way. You might want to read it all. By the way, you also might want to study all that the Bible says about judging before you summarize it with half a verse, your belief on that. Okay, well, I don't ever judge anybody. Well, you're foolish. And by the way, you're lying too. We make judgment calls every single day of our life. but we ought to judge righteous judgment. And he says here, not according to appearance. Now think about this. Wow, let's stop and talk about this in the last few minutes we got here. And again, this goes all the way back to John chapter 5. He's still being harshly judged because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. I mean, to the point where that is what they're wanting to use as the accusation to have him killed. You know, I remember years ago, we were pastoring in Brazil. My wife came in, and we always cleaned the church. Most of the time, me and my wife's the ones that cleaned the church. And so she walked into the nursery, and somebody from Wednesday or Thursday when we cleaned it, the Sunday, somebody had been in the nursery. They had a kid in the nursery. There were animal cracker crumbs all over the nursery. My wife starts vacuuming the floor. A guy comes in into our church, pulls me off the side. I don't know if this is the right thing. You know, I don't like what's going on. What? Your wife's in there on the Lord's day vacuuming the carpet. Okay, she's doing God's work. Are you listening to me? She's doing God's work. If you're doing God's work, leave them alone. All right? I mean, we can get so... And by the way, was he really worried about that? This was a man that every week showed up to try to find something to criticize until he stopped showing up. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus took my critic away. Amen. And yet there's some people, that's the only reason they come. And think of what you're missing. Think of what you're missing. This is one of the things that kept the Pharisees from ever recognizing Christ. The Bible says this, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall what? Let me just tell you something. Whatever you're seeking, you'll find it. If you came here today seeking a blessing, there's all kinds of opportunities to get one. If you're seeking to find something wrong or something you can criticize, you'll find it. Because we're not perfect. But, you know, is it really about that or is it about this? And so he says, judge righteous judgment. And he said this, you're judging on appearance. Another way things, what you're doing is you're judging in accordance to how you view things. The appearance in your eyes. Remember Judges 21 verse 25, the whole book of Judges. This is repeated twice in Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes. Righteous judgment judges not on how something appears on the surface or on the opinion of an individual or the current culture. But righteous judgment judges something based on the clear teaching of the Word of God. And that's a great place for us to stop. So this is a great help to us. Jesus is facing a lot of criticism. Jesus is facing a group of people that hate his guts. Jesus is facing a group of people that have gone so far as to try to plot how to get rid of him. And you know what we see our Savior doing? Exactly what the Father sent him to do. Folks, boy, big lesson for us. I'm going to say it as plain as I can. Stop letting idiots and morons and backsliders control you. Who cares what they think? You know what we ought to be concerned about? Amen. What he thinks. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us so much in this chapter. And Jesus, thank you. We talk about the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, and you've given us so many places in scriptures where we see you and we watch you and we can learn from your example. And so, Lord, this is certainly one of those passages that helps us. As we try to just keep our minds right, our thinking right, we learn to judge righteous judgment. We learn to stay faithful no matter what the reaction of those around us are. We stay true to the Word of God, to what you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us just to grab a hold of this. We're about to disperse. And it's easy just for the Word of God, the seed that's been sown to be plucked by the ravens and taken away. May we just fasten a decision to our heart before we leave this moment. Lord, I'm going to be more concerned about what you think than anybody, what the Word of God says rather than what the Word of man is. How you view things is going to be more important to me than how others view them. Lord, I just pray we'd be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.